Okay, well, we don't have a couple of our key challengers here. Larry is none. He's having trouble with his internet. And Mike is not on today. But maybe I can lead it off. We're not challenging. We're just adding things to it that the Holy Spirit is showing us. Back to Joshua, Martin. Where the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore dost thou lie upon thy face? Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? I remember a long time ago hearing or reading, I forget what it was, many years ago, there was a brother, and I thought what he said was really good. He said, If Joshua had been on his face before the battle of Ai, he wouldn't be on his face afterwards. In other words, he should have been there first.
Well put, yes, of course. This is what I'm trying to say, where before they went to Jericho, he was on his face and he was asking the Lord and inquiring what to do. Like David, we know it from David. David was all the time asking, Lord, is this the one? Are you going to give it to us? And we read in Joshua 6. How he did, in verse 2, I believe. And the Lord says, I will give it to you. It's me. So, yes, if we are on our face and if we are asking the Lord prior to the battle, we will not be there because we are defeated. However, if you are there because you're defeated and you are pitying yourself and, hey, oh, what we did, it is still not the answer. This is wrong place, wrong time. So you should be there prior, but if you miss it, you still are not supposed to be on your face in this attitude. You still are to fight.
Another interesting thing, when we go back to the second chapter of Joshua, if we're talking about warfare, they could have done nothing in this whole campaign of the Canaan land. And Rahab revealed God had prepared all these nations to fear Israel. In other words, it was the hand of God here. Nevertheless, they feared, but they were ready to fight. It kind of reminds me of maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, of the war that's going on in the Mid East. But here's what Rahab said, verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard, amen, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Amen. So they knew. They actually knew what God was able to do through them. Now, by the way, what had happened was 40 years ago. 40 years, and they're still afraid of these people. I think the devil knows he's going to lose.
Yes.
But he's still going to fight because that's who he is.
That's the nature.
That's who he is. And you know, we've got some real heathen in this world. How much do they know? How much do they really know? And the second question is, are we really the people worthy of being feared by the enemy? Are we really in a place now where the enemy, I remember hearing Brother DeSteel a long time ago. He said, "Brethren, we are not anything the enemy is worried about at this point in time." Well, just a comment.
Yes, the two things. One is the enemy is very afraid. It's actually more afraid than realize. However, it's in their nature. I'm just repeating what you said. It's their nature to fight, and they have no option. One of the mistakes we do, and this is speaking politically. But it's the same spiritually. We are treating the enemy as if it's us, just with different opinion. It was the same thing Chamberlain did with Hitler. It's just a political opponent. We actually agree with Hitler on on the Soviets. Well, we don't really like the way he's treating the Jews, but politically, blah blah blah. You totally underestimated Hitler because he was not just another European politician that had different opinion. He was devil incarnated, and he showed the mindset and the mentality that he will kill and destroy till the last moment. Just imagine, you are losing the war. Normal people, the last thing I worry about is destroying some Jews. Let me try to win it, or let me try to put all the effort. They have gathered in a Potsdam, you say it in English, Potsdam,
Yes,
the
Potsdam.
Potsdam near Berlin. And they discussed and they said, well, we are losing the war here and there. And Hitler told us that the biggest thing now we focus, whether we lose or what, is as let's kill as many Jews as possible. Jews represent the people of God. You know what I'm saying? So you see the mindset. Normal people would be worrying about the war. He was worrying about killing as many as possible. And they were trying to create a machine of destruction. So the concept here, and Israel is very aware of it with Iran. They are aware. I mean, the European politicians or the other politicians, they can be debating and discussing. Iran says, I mean, Israel says, sorry guys, we have it here, and if we don't do anything, they will destroy us. We know it. We have our intelligence there. Our people are sitting on their meetings. We know their intentions. So yes, the enemy is fearing us a lot because they know we are stronger. We should believe the enemy in a good sense. God is with us. I mean, she gave a testimony and encouraged their faith. And at the same time, we should realize that the enemy will fight till the end, and we have to fight. So that's definitely understanding the mindset of the warfare, who we are and where we are. And the next thing is, unless we are circumcised, and this is for all of us now, I believe. And I'm talking to myself. There is this famous scriptures, and I like it. I think even, if I'm not mistaken, George Warnock named his book according to it. And this is, Who Are You? And this is where Paul was preaching there. The people kind of observed the power, and then they came and they tried to do the same, and they rebuked the spirit. It was in Ephesus. Okay, actually, one of the things we like to do with our family, we take them to all the places. So we went with our children to Ephesus, and we were walking the same streets. By the way, Ephesus is in great shape. You can walk the streets, you have all the places there where Paul was. It's a nice trip. Anyway, so it was in Ephesus, and he came and rebuked the spirit, and he says, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, who Paul is preaching." And the spirit says, "Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you?" You know, and he beat them and stripped them naked, and they had to take a run. So yes, and it's not about our knowledge, it's not about our intelligence, it's not about our belonging to particular group or word. It is about whether we know Jesus and whether we are known in a spiritual world. You know, and this is where we make some sacrifices, whether we allow the knife to go deep down into our heart. And by the way, I'm sure, as you are, very educated people in the world, we know what a heart is. The heart, the Greek word for heart, the Hebrew mentality, and if you speak French, you would know the same. The heart is le corps. It's the heart. It's the core. Okay. For example, you would have in the Bible saying the core of the world, of the earth. Okay. So God is speaking about the heart as being the very core of who you are. It's not on the surface how you behave. It is who you are, who your identity is. Who do you believe you are? You know, are you a Christian? Are you a good behaving Western, civilian? Who are you? And if you go, and study the idea of the brain, how it's split, you realize the heart, in a biblical point of view, is the sum of your habits. It means who you are habitually. It means who you are, who is your identity. Amen. So when God wants to cut and do circumcision, even in the Old Testament, he's speaking about the circumcision of heart. It means he wants to go deep into your heart that you become habitually different person. It's not that you are the same person behaving differently. It is that God wants to change your identity, who you are in Christ. That's why in Christ you are different creation, because you are not the one. It's not the ultimate goal that I am Martin, I am desiring after a flesh, but I know that I shouldn't. No, I should be delivered in my identity. I should become a new creature. And that's our calling, and we sometimes have given up on this. We can polish our behavior, but God is seeing into our discussions with our wives and being in a car going to the meeting, and how we what do we do when nobody sees us. So that's the circumcision in a heart. We should become a different person. And maybe one more thing, speaking here about the heart and about the cuts. Do you know what the word character means? It's a biblical, of course. It's a Greek word, by the way. And now you'd have to help me because I don't know the English word. How do you, I would say the verb would be craving or carving. How do you say the tool for carving? Carving tool?
Knife.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are working with the wood, making sculptures and stuff, it's not really knife. It's, these things you kind of make. Chisel.
Chisel.
Okay,
Chisel.
chisel. So let's have knife, chisel, carving tool. Anyway, so the Greek word character is a chisel, and the verb means to chisel. Okay, so character actually. How the Greek and how the Bible is speaking about it is taking the core, your habits, and it's chiseling that it makes new identity in you. So if you go to your default behavior, the default behavior is Christ. If Your default behavior is Martin. Of course, you have your own name. Okay. So if my default behavior is Martin and I am just putting Christ on my top layer, that's not what he had in mind. He wants me to realize, oh Lord, how wretched I am. Like go to Romans 7, the end of 7. When Paul, D. Paul is saying, I find a strange law in me. I want to do things, the good things, and I find I don't. I don't want to do things, and I find I do them. Oh, wretched man I am. And then you go to Romans 8, 1, and says, then there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It means God is desiring, and this is the idea and concept of circumcision. That's why I speak about it. And if I may, Mark, you shouldn't have asked. If I may add one more thing, it is very important when we speak about a tabernacle, there are two things I usually add a little bit. If you know me, you'll have heard, I'm sure, that I like from Hebrews to add the anchor into the Holy of Holies. Okay, but I also like to add a circumcision between the baptisms and entering the holy place. Why? Because you see it as a principle. There's scripture that says nobody uncircumcised shall enter the holy place. Okay, second, when they crossed the Red Sea. Or actually, it's both the Red Sea for the first generation and Jordan for the second generation. They circumcised before they went on, and they were doing other things in the holy place. I mean, in the land, the promised land. And Jesus, who went through the tabernacle, the first thing when he got baptized, the Spirit took him to the wilderness where he was fasting for 40 days and he overcame the devil. That was his way of circumcision of the heart. And he overcame it on all the three levels that we have to overcome the devil: the lust of flesh, the lust of eye, and the pride of life. The conversation with the devil, and in Matthew 4, for example, Luke 4, and how he was conversing and overcoming by the scriptures and by not submitting to the devil, and then the devil left him. Only then Jesus went and find disciples. So that's why it's very important, when I speak about the circumcision and the heart and the attitude, because if you come, as Mark was asking or commenting, we are no threat to the devil if we play church. We are a threat to the devil if we allow him to change our identity. And then when they see us, they see Christ and they run.
Yes, amen. Martin, could I suggest that God does not only use the chisel, but he uses fire? And I remember a time in my life, I don't know, 40, 45 years ago, whatever. Seems I was about 45 now. And I was in great tribulation. I mean, I wanted God. I wanted everything to do with the kingdom of God. I had a great desire for it. But I was in great fire. And I remember praying and saying, God, just tell me. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to stop doing. Tell me the way you want me to talk. Just give me instruction and I will follow. I will be very obedient. Why do you put me through all this fire? Isn't there an easier way to get this done? No, there was not an easier way. And eventually, I asked the Lord to put me through the fire. so that I could be the finished product. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, we have another brother from Europe here with us, Brother Daniel, and he sees things that are going on there too. Maybe he could add a little something if the Lord would give him liberty.
Hello, Brother Mark. Hello, Brother Mark. Can I say something before Brother
Oh,
Daniel comes in?
yeah, Brother Edie, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask Brother Martins. He mentioned that before he went to what's the place now? Dubai. He was aware that there was going to be a war between the Americans and the Israelis are going to strike Iran and vice versa, and that there was going to be some upheaval among those nations, including Dubai. I wanted to find out, did he get that information from intelligence or from the Lord? Intelligence on the natural realm, or did he have a word from the Lord on that, Brother Martins?
Well, actually, both. One thing is you read, but if you read without the Lord talking to you, you don't know what to make up of it. Okay. And I came, my wife is here. When did I come? It was in the fall.
In fall.
It was in the fall, and the Lord put on my heart to pray for Iran that there will be war, and He disclosed the information to us. But of course, I was reading, the news. But since the Lord interpreted it, we knew what it is. So I came to the fellowship somewhere in, I don't know, fall, somewhere there. And I predicted actually where I was wrong. I said, I believe the war will be in January. Okay. Then we came again, and in December, I started to be kind of a pain in the neck for the brethren because I was saying, I'm really praying. I know the Lord is about to happen any moment. And again, I was in the middle of December, thinking if I'm hearing well, we are talking January. I was wrong. It was February. So we did pray and fasted about it. And we had some spiritual intelligence as well as, you look around, you understand what's going on. But what is important, if you read the news, you don't read it politically because the people, they have no idea. I mean, even today, the way they are commenting, they are clueless spiritually. You have to understand what's going on. You have to understand the idea of, what's happening with Israel. You have to understand what Israel is after. You have to understand what's happening with Lebanon and Hezbollah and, and the whole situation in Iran and what they did and why they did it. It is not fight against the Shah, you know what I mean? The revolution and Khomeini and all this. So it was the word of the Lord that he spoke to us, and it was having eyes open for the news, if I'm answering it.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Yeah, it's not about, brethren, what time we are in. And all the things that we are facing. We need to realize that this is drawing near to year of Jubilee for us because it's not end for us. What Jesus did for us on the cross and on was that he put the everlasting life within you. It means you are endless. There is no end coming for you. It's no end of nothing for you. It's end of those things that need to go away. It's coming to the time when we see that there is going to be a change in our time. I have been waiting for this time for 40 years, and I have always been thinking, I have been hearing this so long, and now we are here. Praise God. What a God we serve to be in this time, to make a difference. But how do we make a difference in this time? We know that in God's house is order. In man's house is a control, you know. It's a different. There is a different when man use control, because God put order into his house. And he called it in the beginning the seven furniture, and that order was still in the temple, and it's still in the body of Christ that is the everlasting temple on earth. We are not waiting for the third temple to be built. We have already everlasting temple, and we are in it. But when I look to this time, and I look to this things that is happening, it's I am the word is open up for us. We see in the Revelation, he speaks about that the outer court is going to be giving to the heathen, and even the holy place is going to be trampled under for 42 months. And what is it? The effect of what is happening in the outer court is stretching in. It's having effect there. But how do we deal with it? Like you said, Martin, it's about the sword of the spirit, you know. And that is most of the beautiful things that Jesus changed on the cross. That we don't have to fight according to the carnality anymore. Now we are fighting with the sword of the spirit. And we see even the warning, even in our time. It's the story about when they came against Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 26. And they were coming to take Jesus, you know. And in verse 51, he says, "And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." He just took his sword and went into a battle. And Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword." Because we are not fighting in a carnality with a carnal weapon according to our faith. We can see everything that is happening, and I really agree that it's so necessary for us to follow on everything that is happening, because this is a sign of our time. But when we see what is happening, we pray. That's our weapon, brethren. We pray. Our heart is hurt of what we are hearing. Our heart is broken for everyone that is even losing their life. There is a message in our heart to do good unto everyone, to spread the good news that we have a Redeemer. And we have a Redeemer that we are a part of. And when we see all this war and trouble and everything that is going on, we need to take the sword of the Spirit, use it, the word and the Spirit together, pray and even speak about it, because we have been redeemed. And the different is that the outer court have become a dangerous place to be in. It's going to be giving to the heathen. And outer court does not have any covering. It's not a place to be in. It's not a place of covering in this hour. But to come into the holy place, it's a covered place. And to go on in that place into the most holy is our only safety place in this hour, to stretch into the reality of what the rest of God is, to rest from all these things, to have a rest in our soul. When Jesus was on the boat with his disciples, the storm was coming. And they rose up and they saw Jesus was just lying on pillow and he was sleeping. What a rest that he had. He was not concerned. He had a perfect rest. But they were troubled and they waked him up. And he was waking up because they were afraid. But in this story, it's tell us something else. Why didn't they just grab their own pillow and rest with him? Because we are called to be in the rest with him, to come into a place of rest that there is nothing that is troubling us in this hour. Everything that we see, it is meant to come, it's meant to be. He said that these things would come before the fullness of him is going to come. He's at the door, but these things need to take place before that. We are drawing close, and I'm looking forward. So I am excited of this time, but I am really aware of that. The war that is happening now in this world, it's not stopping. It's affecting everything. It's affecting economic things around the whole world. And it may be like we saw in the Second World War. Sometimes it seems to be that people need war to realize how good they can be. Because what happened after the Second World War? Everyone was helping one another. Everyone was coming together, building together, staying together, uniting together. No one wanted to experience this anymore. We have simply forgot it. But our hope is in him, and he is our own only safe place in this hour. And to take up the sword of the Spirit in this hour, and really praying and even speaking what is coming to us, to want to be in good unity with him. So I'm glad to be in this hour, and I know this battle is going to go in that way that it should be, because we have a God that is a God of everything. In Jesus' name. So thank you, brethren.
Brother
Amen.
Daniel, and all, the world of this generation that we have now have never tasted war. I came into this world in the very last of World War II, and it did not touch America as it did Europe. But the spirit and the mindset was still there. I was born in 1941, just before Pearl Harbor. Of course, as a wee child, I didn't know what was going on. Nevertheless, in my memory are the memories of some of the things we had. What do they call them? Where you couldn't buy butter, you couldn't, without a coupon.
Ration
Rationing,
box.
yeah, rationing. And I remember we were near an Air Force base, and I remember as a child looking to the sky and seeing hundreds of planes flying in formation, learning to go to Germany or wherever to fly in formation for their bombing runs. It was something I'll never forget. Yes, we had a mindset even after the war, like you said, of helping one another. But our world, the world people, have never tasted what it meant to be at war. They have everything they want. They have, everybody's becoming a millionaire today. Man learns to play basketball. First thing you know, he's a millionaire. Buy anything you want. And it is spoiling the world.
Yes. This war that we see that is on the table, if you look really close into it, it's not only a war against countries, but it's war in every countries. It's war from one heart against another heart. It's a war that is splitting the people in one nation, rising up against one another. And I see it quite much here in Norway. The common news, and people start to rise up against one another. They disagree. And this war is not only in the Middle East or in USA or Russia. No, this is in coming into every family, even into every home, every friends group, because it's something that makes a disagreement. Whose side are you on? It's really, really coming up. There's a lot of fake news going out to deceive people. And I love to say to people when I'm speaking to them, this old story about when the lie came to the truth, and ask him, should we go down to the beach to take a bath? And the truth said, yeah, it would be nice. So the truth and the lie went to the beach together, and the truth took off the clothes and put it on the stone and jumped into the sea and look at the lie, and the lie took the clothes of the truth and ran away. And it happened like that since. The lie is covered with truth, and truth is naked. So it's not, we need to have a discernment in this time. More than anything, we need so much discernment, and we cannot have it on our own. We need to have a discernment from him. We need to have a discernment to see what he is looking at. Do we not want to hear how Jesus hears? Do we not want to see like he do? Do we not want to come into the reality when he said, I do nothing of my own, I do only thing that I see my father doing? Would it not be easy for us not try to lean on our own? But I say, no, I see, I follow the lamp. You know, you read this chapter in 14 in Revelation. They follow the lamp wherever it goes. And you wonder where is when it's going to take place, how it is going to take place. And I can surely tell you what I saw in these things. You have a lamp of God within you, brethren. And when this lamp of God that is within you want to go somewhere, you better go with it. You better obey it. Because if you go where the lamp of God within you desire to go, you follow the lamp wherever it goes. A blessing to you.
Amen.
Well, is it, may I just read, as I'm listening, the word that comes to me, excuse me, is sanctification, because, this whole process is dealing with our soul and getting the oil in our vessel. And, oh, I just lost what I had. Oops, sorry. But I was just thinking that the Lord is, with all that's being said, is talking about sanctification. And I lost my little, was going to read. But anyway, praise the Lord.
You know, the war that is focusing on Iran now, and we go in the Bible, Iran was Persia, ancient Persia in the days of Daniel, and the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar is that that kingdom, Persia, was the head of gold. But it's been a long time ago that it was the head of gold. And I don't believe it's going to be the head of gold anymore. It's come to silver and brass, and now the kingdom of clay and iron and clay. But that prince of Persia was a very powerful prince. I believe that that prince of Persia was one of the fallen angels that came down with Satan. And he was a very powerful prince. He lost his throne, he lost his crown, but he's still a very powerful prince. And the only thing that could defeat that prince of Persia was Michael. He was the only one that had the power to hold him back. And of course, we need the power of the angels of heaven to fight this war with us. Brethren, I don't think Persia is going to come back to be the big whatever in our day. You know, there's these so-called Christians, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, making all these prophecies to Mr. Trump. You know, he's going to light the fire of Armageddon. But you know, Armageddon, I don't believe. I heard Clay Sunmore say this a long time ago, and it kind of shocked me. And I thought, you know, I don't think Armageddon is going to be a natural battle. They're not going to be out in some field somewhere shooting and doing what? Armageddon is a spiritual battle. And Martin has been talking about spiritual warfare today. Started off with natural warfare that's going on. Yes, there'll be natural warfare, lots of it. But Armageddon, there's going to be an Armageddon, but it's going to be a spiritual Armageddon. And you know, there are a lot of Christians that are bantering back and forth with their big names and their big words and their big prophecies. And you know, brethren, we need to be careful because they've got all kinds of wrong doctrine that they're bringing their prophecies in.
Amen. You know, in the time of in the time that they are having a agreement of making a peace now, just in these days, there is huge transformation about weapon from China into Iran. And you know what happened when country starting to receive a lot of weapon from another country? It means that there is a really great agreement between them. And if they are in need of something more, they will also loan them our soldiers. They will always support them with more. So when we see these things, we see here on this table that in the news that a lot of things have been defeated in Iran, but they are still strong. You know, when Tehran was built in the beginning, every city around Tehran was built to protect Tehran. And every city that was outside of those cities was to protect them. It was a marvelous military structure. But we know how it ends. It says that all the kingdom of man will be kingdom of God and his Christ. Every single kingdom on this planet is going to be under his kingdom.
Yes, amen.
And this is showing us how great he is, how great his his force is. You know, when Joshua met the captain of the host, he only saw the captain. And we know that captain never comes alone. He always bring his whole army with him. But Joshua didn't see it. But when Israel was gathering around Jericho, watching around the wall, there was an army of heaven already touching the life of every single person in the city, and they were scared, they were afraid, they didn't know what is going. There was a spiritual battle going on even before they broke the wall down. There's an army of heaven and an army on earth that is watching together in this hour. So it's good. I love the story, Martin, what you wrote about Al. What a trick he did. He hid a big part of the army in the forest. And we need to see what he's telling us in the story, because he said, "I have a hidden army." The people in the city only saw a few men. They said, "We just go down, go out and beat them up. They are just so few." And they were running after them, and they didn't recognize that the city was taking of this secret army. We have a secret army with us. So praise God for this time. Praise God for his people. Praise God for what a mighty God we have.
Amen. You know, brethren, we are the body of Christ. If God is saying something to us, we should share it. Not just a few. What is God saying in this hour?
Amen.
Daniel, Martin, they've shared a good bit with us.
I think it's really important in this hour that we take us a little time to go on our face, who know the calling of our life. Because sometimes we think we have a calling, and because we agree with someone. But it's a calling of our life, of our soul. But it's not agreement between two or three person, but it's agreement between God and you. And he put us together as a biggest family on earth. And we are called to be together, stay together. And if something happened between us, we are called and chosen people to forgive one another, to stay together, to have this word that Joshua had, that we could even say it to one another: "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." This is how we become a brother's keeper in this hour.
Amen.
Always have this: "I will never leave you or forsake you."
Amen.
I can just tell you what God's been speaking to me for quite some time. He's been telling me, hide thyself until the indignation be overpast. That's what he's been speaking to me. Amen.
What do you know? I just heard this. I don't know if it's true or not. What do you know about all these little peace treaties that are being made by different groups? Apparently, Kushner's been involved. Where all these little agreements and peace treaties are being made, in which they covenant that the armies of this group will be committed to this cause. Have you heard anything about this? Is there anything to this?
What are you talking about, Mark? Are you asking me?
Anybody that has the answer.
Which which
Supposedly, Kushner has been sent out to make peace agreements. It's not just the one over in Pakistan that they're working, but he's been apparently behind the scenes been making other agreements. Do you know anything about this? Is this true or is it not true?
Of course, it's true. You mean the agreements that the coalition is now doing in the Middle East? You're talking about that part?
That would be one, but there are supposedly other peace, agreements that he's been involved in.
Tell me, what do you mean?
I
Be
don't know. I just
specific.
heard a little bit about it, and I'm not sure I trust the man that was trying to tell me all these things. But I want to know, is it true or is it not true?
Yeah, but it's hard to say it's true if you don't say what he is talking about. So I don't know what you have in mind. Of course, there are different peace treaties and coalitions. They are being agreed, either some of them formally, some of them behind the scenes. But I don't know if you're talking about those.
I could be, yes.
Yeah. Well, if you are speaking about the Middle East, the whole thing is changing, and it's changed already in big time. We are looking at it in natural eyes too much, trying to interpret it in our own way. We want to see things black and white. Nebuchadnezzar was a crazy guy, and he was in the hand of the Lord. God wants to teach us to be like Daniel. Daniel had an exceptional gift of talking to the high places guys, and he had the discernment that he was able to discern how crazy they are, and at the same time how God is going to use them. So there will be certain people where for us it's almost abomination to think they can be used by the hand of the Lord. And different, whether you are talking about the Saudi people, the prince, I believe they will be used before God will deal with them. They will be used, these days for good cause. So yes, and of course, God knows what he's doing, and we may think it's Trump this and Trump that, or Netanyahu this and Netanyahu that, and different people. But we should be careful not to have our alliances with the natural leaders, even in a country, whether it's US, Europe, this and that. We can identify some clear devils. There's no question about Hitler's. There's no question about Putin's. There's no question about Khomeini's, of course. But on the other hand, you have other people and they are not black and white. So our prayer and alliance, should be with the Lord only, and he will use us wherever he pleases. And he will use even the different politicians, and he will allow them to make coalitions, like, in the World War II, you have a coalition with Stalin to defeat Hitler. Wasn't Stalin even worse than Hitler? You know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful when we are fighting Hitler in the spirit, that we understand God can use people like Stalin, but they are evil. And our heart must not go political. It's very important because we are children of God and sons of God, and none of the nations, some of them are more righteous for the time being, some governments are more righteous for the time being, some are more wicked, but we are not of this world. And what is going to happen, what the Lord showed me, the Middle East is going to change dramatically. We have to be careful to be able to understand it and not to go into old mindset. Let's pray and see what God does. But however, as it's going to kick out a lot of Hezbollah and a lot of other nations, it can actually bring healing to Lebanon. It can bring healing to Iran, possibly. But the problem is, and we should pray towards that, especially some of you brethren who are from Africa, the devil is going to move big time to Africa. So this is one of the things we'll be facing, as the devil will be fleeing and will not have as much space in Qatar and these other places. It is trying to find place in some of the African countries, So I would say to this, Mark, I don't know if I'm answering your question at all, but I'm saying, there are coalitions being made, there are agreements being made, it cannot be too public. And yes, it does involve, you would be a couple of decades or even a decade ago, if somebody says that there's a treaty between Saudi, Emirates, Qatar, and Israel against Iran? Are you kidding me? And this is exactly what is happening. But let's not be political. It's a spiritual thing, and we should be spiritual because just because some healing is coming to Saudi, they have a long time to go, However, just out of interest, the Saudi prince recently forbid Quran to be taught at schools.
Oh my goodness.
So things are happening behind the scenes. But again, we have sometimes tendency to become political and to become this and that. We shouldn't do that. Let's take a lesson from Daniel. He was able to talk to five kings. Just one didn't like him. And eventually, through his obedience and wisdom, how he walked and talked and never submitted to the Persian kingdoms, eventually he was able to encourage Cyrus to build Jerusalem. It's crazy if you think about it, and this is how we ought to walk. We are in the world, but not out of the world.
Somebody told me recently, I forget the number, I'm forgetting little things these days. How many is it, million, thousands believers there are in Iran?
Yes.
I don't know. Do you remember the number? It doesn't matter, probably.
It keeps changing and keeps growing. Many people would be surprised when I really pray towards that since, so many months, when Israel, I mean Iran, becomes free country. The good news is, you will be surprised that most of Iran is pro-Israel. Most of Iran people are pro-West, and there's actually a lot of true Christians, and a lot of movements that will teach the West, it is true. At the same time, we will be surprised how secular the country has become, and many people will take advantage, and there'll be a lot of LGBT and a lot of this and this groups too. So it's always mixture, but yes, there's a lot of Christians in Iran, thousands and possibly millions, since the country has what, 100 million people? Well, not quite.
So when I hear of things going on in places like Iran, Russia, Ukraine, brethren, I've been to Ukraine. I've been there a number of times. I've been to their churches. These are godly people. Yes, there's outer court there, but there's good people there. There's sons of God there. I don't know about Iran. I've never been there. I really have no desire to be there right now. But when I hear of these terrible things happening, I say, God, keep your people. I understand in the end times that God is going to wipe out, destroy the wicked off the earth. But I'm still asking, Lord, your people are still there in the midst of it. Keep those who are yours. Keep them, Lord. Have we begun in that time already when the unrighteous are going to be removed? Maybe not quite, but I still pray for God's people. I don't know who these godly people are in Iran. I see the guard, or whatever they call them, Republic Guard. I see them out just shooting at people, indiscriminate, like Martins. I didn't even know they go in the hospital to finish them off. Horrible people, horrible demonic activity. God save your people. Save those who are yours. Amen.
Amen to that.
We see the story of Saul, how he persecuted the Christians, and the beauty that came forth in his life when he met Jesus. And I was thinking about it for a few days ago. If I look to this this people that is really, really criminal people doing awful things. Can God change them to be our brothers? Yeah, he can. Do we want him to do? I'm not so sure. Like Peter and the apostle, they said, well, we don't trust Paul, It's we need to see something more. He have to prove himself. But Barabbas said, you have to hear his testimony. And when we hear a testimony of someone that have repent and returned, be saved, redeemed, oh, what a brethren we have.
There's a spirit of lawlessness that's come across the land where I live. People are doing things that would never have heard of in my youth or in my childhood. People shooting at the police. Woman drives into a parking lot. She beeps her horn. Man pulls out a gun and shoots her. For why? People killing their children, killing their wives, out on the road. Somebody pulls a gun and shoots somebody in a car. What is this spirit that has come upon us as a people? Every week, there is a big shooting at some gathering. A birthday party, a sport event, a bar, Somebody pulls a gun, shoots 10 or 20 people. It's routine. Routine thing. Brethren, I think we really need to be and not be where God would not have us be. How long was it? Maybe Nancy, you remember this. The church in Colorado. And I think it was Colorado. And the kindred of people who were our brethren at that time in Nebraska, it was some of their ch grown children who were in that church that were being killed. And I'm thinking, oh my God, we have no protection if we're out of the place that God would have us be. It happened to be an outer court church. And I'm thinking, oh God, there was no protection there. Many of these churches are hiring security guards. They're hiring armed guards. These big mega churches, they have hired armed guards in case a man comes in with a gun. They'll shoot him. Is this church? Brethren, is this church that we have to hire armed guards to keep the devil out?
I was reminded of a song, and it starts with the scripture Isaiah 40, verse 3. And I just will read that. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And the song was, "I hear a sound coming from the mountain," and it says it gets, I hear it clearer each day. Prepare ye the way, and the chorus, prepare thee the way. And then the next verse says, I hear a voice coming from the mountain. Prepare ye the way. I see the king standing on the mountain. Prepare ye the way. I see the saints coming up the mountain. Prepare ye the way. And I just was reminded of that. John the Baptist was called in that to prepare the way of the Lord. And so I agree and bear witness with the preparation that needs to be made first is in our hearts. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths for the Lord to have access to every single nook and cranny of our lives, our soul, that we do not close off anything, because whatever we close off is the thing that is going to eventually take us. So we need to prepare and give the Lord complete access to ourselves. And from there we go.
Amen. Well, there are just a couple of you that haven't said anything yet. You're invited. Jeremy, Howard, Opie, if you have anything to share, here's the time to do so. Any
Well, I was sharing with
observation?
the Lord.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
Lord's been, I don't know, he hasn't come out and actually said to me, this is going to happen, but he keeps bringing it to me over and over again with these different groups like Islam and the Zionists in Israel, that persecution's coming for the church. And it's going to be by the hand of one of these two groups. It's either going to be by Sharia law or it's going to be under the Noahide laws that the Freemasons are going to enforce. Now, like I said, I don't know which group it's going to be, but I'm kind of leaning more towards it's going to be the Zionists, because if you really look behind Islam, it was a created religion. And very well, the people that are behind Zionism had their hands in it. But this is something that just keeps coming to me over and over.
And what the Spirit's saying to me is to prepare, more or less, not prepare, how to survive or whatever, but prepare in your heart to lose your life if it has to be that way. And this is, something I've been grappling with for well over a year now, maybe more, but this is what this been saying to me.
Amen. So the word that Martin brought is get ready, which to me says prepare. Prepare and get ready. Thank you, Chair. Anyone else?
Praise God. Maybe I will start with this observation when Brother Mark said Pesha was the head of gold. My mind ran straight to the scripture, and I was trying to figure that out, and it seems that Babylon was the head of gold. Then the Medo-Persia, which is, which Persia was part of, it was the twin dynasty. So Medo-Persia was the silver, and I think that is the point from which God had to raise Cyrus, which was the king of Persia, to bring redemption. Silver is redemption. Declare redemption for the people of Israel from the captivity. So it's Cyrus who declared that redemption back to Jerusalem, even though it didn't take effect in his time, but he gave the order. All right, so I think that, if just an observation. So Babylon, whose head was Nebuchadnezzar, and then his son Belshazzar was the head of gold. Then Medo-Persia was the silver. Then I think Greece was the tie, which is down there, and then down iron and clay, and then in the last kingdom. So I think it is something I just remembered from the scripture. We may look at it again. But by the way, as Bro Daniel was giving an illustration about, the lie being clothed and the truth being naked. Looking at the things that we are discussing about and world events and wars, what keeps coming to me, and then the caution that we are receiving now to get ready and get prepared. And I was asking, so how do we get prepared? What are we preparing? Jeremy's word by the Spirit is giving another little light to it. It's to get prepared because, the world has an agenda. And I think it's in the 18th century. It was in one of these articles. The Freemasons came together, and one of the famous high-ranking Masons, I think it was a 33rd degree Mason, wrote it down, and they were looking at how they can orchestrate world difficulties and hardship, so that they can drive towards their one world religion, one world government, one world currency. And they were looking at different geopolitical zones where they can touch, so that it ripples across the world, can affect the whole world. And then they said the Middle East. So I think I'll go and research again. If I get that article, I may share to us on the mail. So they said the Middle East. And that Middle East had been a boiling point. Each decade and each season, they have tried to create something from that Middle East because of the Gulf and all of those central facilities that are there that feeds the world trade. So this is some years back. I think it should be in the 18th century when that Mason wrote that article. And the World Economic Forum, WEF, had also been predicting. I think one of the times what's his name, Rockefeller, the Rockefeller Mumeo, mentioned that, you know, they need to do to create some major crisis in the world, and then the world will, the nations will accept their one world religion. They call it the Great Reset. So it's just to create the right global crisis, then the nations will accept their one world religion and their one world government. That is the new world order. So, you know, they have tried a lot of times and there have been resistances because nations are still autonomous, but they want to collapse every autonomous, you know, nation and then bring about one world order. And they say it is to create some major necessary crisis so that the people can accept that which will come. And they operate, especially the Freemasons, they operate with a principle called yin yang. One of their symbols is that yin yang, that is order out of chaos. So they want to bring an order, but they will create chaos first because man will always look for a solution when there is trouble. So they create a problem so that when men are looking for solutions, they now offer the solution. So that is one of their major symbols in their lodges. So I think one of the major things that has happened with this war in Iran, I was reading about, you know, the Strait of Hormuz, the Hormuz, they call it, the recent one that was attacked, you know, and was trying to be closed. And he said, let me just get this thing. He said, the Strait of Hormuz is a waterway between the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. On the north coast lies Iran, and on the south coast lies the Musandam Peninsula under the Musandam Governorate of Oman. Now, if you read down, he said, a closure of the Strait of Hormuz would cause a massive, unprecedented global energy crisis, halting roughly 20% of the world's daily oil supply, over 20% of LNG trade. This would trigger severe oil price spikes, global economic disruption, and severe shortages of fertilizer and manufactured goods, as seen in the 2026 crisis. Now, key consequences of a closure include massive energy supply disruption, then global price spikes, shortage of essential goods, disruption of manufacturing, geopolitical conflict. So all these ones are the consequences of, and you know that before now, they tried the Suez Canal, and there was also a problem. A lot of things happened, you know, ships and vessels were halted, and I think it is a very major waterway that brings, you know, goods, manufactured goods, you know, semi-manufactured and even raw materials through to Africa. You know, so a lot of these things are linked to that Middle East, and it is almost a center of world trade. So it is believed right now in Nigeria now, oil prices are soared very high, and they are saying that it's because of the war at Iran. So, and I'm sure it's rippling across other nations, you know, in little ways. So I checked that with Revelation. I say maybe that is the reason why the red horse came before the black horse, which is hunger and starvation, and then after that the pale horse, okay, which is death. So you see that when war comes out, it escalates into some other hardship, hunger, and then when people are hungry, they get very violent, and then, you know, deaths and wars and a lot of things begin to happen. So you see that they are happening in sequences. So they create the wars. They have tried with pandemic. And of course, the agenda is create the major right crisis. Then the nations will accept the new world order. That was the agenda. So I think when, you know, we are seeing all of this, I remember again that when the crisis comes to a climax, every person will be looking for peace. And then the man of peace has to showcase. The man of peace will offer peace. And that is the place where we, the people of God, the elect of God, will be, you know, tested, because there will be one world religion, like Bro Jeremy is saying. You know, all the major religions of the world will come together and They want to reconcile and, you know, sheath their swords. No more religious conflict. Let's get one voice. We are serving the same God. Of course, they have started already what they call the Abrahamic Accord. Islam, Judaism, and of course, the mainstream Christianity. They say they are all the children of Abraham because the Christians are children by engrafting, adoption. Islam is Ishmael, and then the Zionists or the Jews are from the Isaac, the child of promise. So that accord had been signed some time ago, and you know when all of these ones come together, and Pope Francis initiated the one for the major world religions, which I think I mentioned the other day. You know, so Christianity had also joined in America. I think Joel Osteen was there. Kenneth Copeland was there. In Africa here, David Adeboye was there, Kumuyi was there, and all of these people led the Christian folk to that meeting of forming one world religion to bring about world peace. And the man that spoke, which said that that was his mandate, why God called him, that is the African leader, he said, it is because politics had failed to bring about world peace that God wants to use the religious leaders to bring about that peace, which the political leaders have failed to achieve. And that sounds to me very clearly that Revelation 13 is being you know, played out when the dragon gave the power to the beast of the sea, which is the nations, the political realm, and then now, the political realm is handing over the power to the beast from the earth, which is the religious beast. So that is exactly what is coming. And when Bro Jeremy was saying that we should be ready for persecution, the minority group who would not want to join the one world religion will come under severe persecution because you are the enemies of world peace. So I think they have started, you know, the ecumenical centers building in Nigeria. They have several in some major cities, ecumenical centers where all the religious, you know, groups will be meeting to worship the same God. So I think when we hear such, you know, warnings, it should really, you know, send shivers down our spine that the time is closer than when, you know, we are expecting because, you know, things are wrapping up very quickly. Thank God for the word, you know, Bro Martins has received and is bringing. God should give us grace to be able to discern. You know, like he said, one thing is to receive a word and another thing is to relate to what is happening around so that we can, you know, see the relevance and what we ought to do and our response towards that. Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Thank you, brother. I believe that Martin is at the point where he has to leave us. I want to thank him again for sharing with us. And I just want to say, Martin, you are welcome anytime that you wish to be with us. And if you have a word, just let me know and we'll put you in.
Oh, bless you. And sorry I had to run. Thank you for the invitation and I'll be in touch. It was
All right.
A privilege. God bless.
God bless. We're almost ready to close down anyway.
Okay.
So go ahead and God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
So maybe we should be thinking about closing down then too. Appreciate every one of you. And we'll meet again next week. I believe Brother Jim has a word for us next Sunday. So why don't we bring our meeting to an end now? And we'll say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. Love you all Bye. And appreciate every one of you.
Amen.
Oh,
Duncan,
love
everyone.
You.
We love
bless
you.
You. Bless you. Amen. Howard, are you on? Where's Howard? He's gone. I want to get Howard back on. I want to try this thing again. Everything went wrong with this. They give us a new buttons, new screen, everything else. It worked good last week, but it didn't work so good this week. So thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Bless you.
Thank you. Bye. God bless you.
Bless you.